This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. First and foremost, Brother Luqman and the rest of the brothers in the audience, brothers and sisters, جزاكم الله خيرا for the invitation and for those that are tuning in and attending with us this live event. Of course, the lecture for today or tonight, wherever you are across the globe, is titled, What Did the Quran Prioritize? And so, no doubt that today's lecture, we want to answer this great and very important question. What did the Quran prioritize? And of course, first and foremost, we know that the Quran is the final message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind. We do not have, as mankind, we do not have a chance to succeed in this life and in the afterlife except by holding on to this Quran. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَن تَضِلُّوا بَعْدِي. He said, أحدهما أعظم من الآخر كتاب الله حبل ممدود من السماء إلى الأرض وعترتي أهل بيتي. At the beginning of this hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ. I am leaving, after my death, I am leaving among my ummah two things. One of them is more important and one of them is more rewarding than the other. And he said, so long as you hold on to them, and he used the word tamassaktum. And tamassaktum, it is sigat mubalagha. In other words, it's an emphasis. There is emphasis in this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not referring to a casual holding. He is referring to an intense and a strong relationship that we must have with these two things in order for never to be led astray and misguided after that. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the first of them is Kitabullah, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final revelation to mankind, Al-Quran. And he described it as Hablun Mamdudun min as-sama'. It is a rope that extends from the sky all the way to earth, because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word. So it extends from the sky all the way until this earth. The only way to make it to Allah Azza wa Jal and to the paradise and to the pleasure of Allah is by holding firm onto this rope, which is the Quran. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the first and foremost source that if the people were to hold onto and tamassaktum intensely, holding onto something like you, yani, so intensely that it won't slip out and it won't leave. This is tamassaktum, like a person that is about to drown in the middle of the ocean. And then the helicopter rescue team arrives and they deploy a life buoy. They throw in a life buoy. And this man, this is his only chance. If you don't hold on to this life buoy, the next minute you will die, you'll drown, you'll drown. So how intensely would you be holding on to this rope and to this life buoy? This is the idea of tamassaktum. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, so long as you hold on tightly to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the rope that is extended from the heavens until the earth, if you hold on to this, and itrati, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning if you hold on to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why was his family mentioned specifically? Because they are the ones who know his sunnah more than anyone else, because they lived with him, they grew up with him, they interacted with him, they were inside his house, they knew his private life, they knew his public life and everything. So if you hold on to the Quran and to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was narrated to us by the closest members of his family and the companions, then this is the only path and the road to success, and a person does not become led astray and misguided after this. Tamassaktum. For this is the idea. The Quran, we need to first understand what the Quran is in the life of the believer before we speak about what the Quran prioritized of subject matter to the believers, and most importantly, of course, generally to mankind and humanity at large. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he described the Quran, he said, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. Allah Azza wa Jal described this Quran as ruhan. Al-ruh is a soul. And al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they say that the Quran is a ruh. As Allah said, it is a soul. And we know that a person only becomes alive when there is a soul, when there's a ruh in him. And so a person's spiritual state will only become awakened and alive when the ruh of the spiritual state is there, and that is the Quran. Al-Quran is a ruh. It gives life to the spiritual state of a person. Without the Quran in a person's life, then a person becomes spiritually dead. His body is still alive. His limbs are functioning. He's walking around. But spiritually, he is dead. And the one who is spiritually dead, he is misguided. He is led astray. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. Al-Quran is referred to as al-ruh. This, يعني, al-ruh. You see, your body would not exist if there is not a ruh. And your spiritual state in this worldly life will not exist unless there is a ruh in that as well. And that is al-Quran. There is a need for the Quran for the soul, in the same manner the body requires food and drink and air and water and sun and shelter and so on. You see, if the human body was deprived from all these outside elements that keep it alive, if the human body was deprived of sunlight and of air and of oxygen and of food and of water and of shelter, what would happen? Give it a few days and the body would die. It would literally deteriorate and it would be finished. That would be the end of it. And so a soul of a person, the ruh, we know that as human beings, we're two parts. We're a body and we're a soul. And this soul has needs as well. The soul needs a soul in it. It needs something for it to remain alive. And so it can remain sane and it can remain guided. And so it can know its purpose in life. It needs al-Quran. This is why the Quran was referred to as a ruh. And the ruh, the soul itself, came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran also came from Allah azza wa jal. So the only food for a person's spiritual state is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Quran. And let me bring your attention to a very important hadith. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ نَبِيٌّ إِلَّا أُعْطِيَ مَا مِثْلُهُ آمَنَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَشَرِ وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ الَّذِي أُوتِيتُهُ وَحْيٌ أَوْحَاهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ فَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ تَبَعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Very important hadith. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that each and every single prophet was given miracles to prove the authenticity of his message. There is not a single prophet that came except that Allah azza wa jal gave him miracles so that he can prove the authenticity of his message and to prove to the people that he is truly a messenger of Allah. Like Salih alayhi salam, and the she-camel that he brings out for the people, that was a miracle. Like Musa alayhi salam and the staff, he strikes it to the ocean and it splits in half. Or like Isa alayhi salam was given the ability by the permission of Allah to revive the dead and to cure the sick and to mold the clay and to make a bird from it. These are all miracles. Why? Why did Allah give prophets miracles? So that they can prove to the people the authenticity of the message and the authenticity of the fact that they are the representative of Allah on earth and they are a messenger sent by Allah to mankind. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ الَّذِي أُوتِيتُهُ وَحْيٌ أَوْحَاهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. He said, إِنَّمَا, the only thing I was given, listen to this very carefully. He said, the only thing I was given was a wahi, was a revelation that Allah revealed to me. It is the Quran. We learn in this hadith that the greatest miracle that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Quran. In fact, the greatest miracle ever to be given to any prophet from the beginning of prophets until this day was the Quran. And the best of the miracles, the Quran, was given to the best of prophets, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran is more of a miracle than the staff of Musa alayhi salam, and more of a miracle than the miracle of Isa alayhi salam being able to revive the dead. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said at the end of the hadith, فَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ تَابِعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, he said, and I hope that I have the biggest following on the Day of Judgment. You see this part here, what does it mean? It means that the Quran, what proves it's the greatest miracle is that he will have the majority and most followers on the Day of Judgment. So when all the prophets present on the Day of Judgment, and those that believed in them will be with these prophets, the largest following of a prophet would be the following of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This would be the largest following of any prophet. Why? Because he had the greatest miracle. What proves it's the greatest miracle? His large following. For this is the idea, the Quran is the greatest of all miracles. Once you understand how huge the Quran is, so far we've said it's the greatest miracle that Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent. It is a ruh. Without it, our spiritual state is dead. These are things we have mentioned so far, right? So now, the idea is to develop within us the importance of the Quran in the life of a believer. We need to understand its importance in the life of a believer. But even add to this, for its importance, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in desperate need of the Quran. Wallah, without the Quran in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would have remained lost. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, "Alam wa wajadaka dallan." Allah says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found you lost. He was lost. This was the condition of Rasulullah before the Quran. He was described with one word, dallan, lost, seeking, spiritually dead. There is nothing. And this is the case for every person that has moved away from the Quran. He remains described as dallan, in a state of confusion, misguided and lost, ruined. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, fahada, and then he guided you. How did the transition go from dallan to hada? How did the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go from the state of dallan, confused and lost, to the state of hada, guidance, and becoming steadfast and committed and knowing his purpose in life? It was the revelation of the Quran. When the Quran came down, now he became hada. Now he was guided. See the desperate need of the Quran in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without it, he was dallan, lost and confused. With the Quran, he became guided and committed upon a straight path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً. You see, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said that the disbelievers, they all gathered and they said one thing. They said, why didn't this Quran come down upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a whole? Why didn't it come down all 604 pages that we know now and 6,236 ayat? Why didn't they all come down in one night on Laylat al-Qadr? Why was it spread out over 23 years? Allah Azza wa Jalla said, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, so that we keep your heart steadfast and committed upon Iman and Islam. The idea is this, that Allah Azza wa Jalla knows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go through a lot of hardship and trial. Intense hardship and trial. And from his people, and from his enemies outside Mecca and outside Al-Madinah, and until this day, يعني, those who adhere to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will find these difficulties and hardships. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the Quran over a period of time so that it can keep the heart of Rasulullah firm and committed and steadfast. As though Allah is saying, you need Quran every day in your life. So I revealed it every few days. And I did not reveal it as a whole, because if it came down as a whole, what are you going to do in the day after that? And the day after that, and the year after that, and the month after that. So Allah Azza wa Jal would reveal bit by bit every few days for 23 years. And that would keep Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam committed upon the wahi, committed upon the revelation, and always in tune and relationship and connection with al-wahi and the Quran. And so this is our state right now. How do we benefit from this ayah? To know that we're supposed to also expose our hearts and our mind and our soul and our body to the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal every day. Especially in the corrupt world and the evils that we see around us today, we're supposed to be connected with it every single day. For what purpose? What are we seeking? When we want to connect with the Quran every single day, what are we seeking? We are seeking لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. We are seeking Allah Azza wa Jal to give us steadfastness in our heart and commitment of the heart upon Iman and Islam. And this can only happen when you have a daily relationship with the Quran, an hourly relationship with the Quran. This is the ID. This is the soul. And you know the soul in your body, it's there 24 hours a day, right? The soul doesn't go and come, except when a person sleeps, yes, but that's partial removal of the soul. Otherwise, the soul is still there. So the idea is, just like the soul is in your body 24/7, the Quran is supposed to be in your spiritual life 24/7. Every day, whether you're reading or learning or listening or memorizing or applying or acting by this ayah or seeing the ayat of Allah around you 24/7, the believer is supposed to be active and alive and connected with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hope that Allah azza wa jal gives him steadfastness of the heart and commitment of the heart upon the Quran and the meanings in this Quran. My brothers and sisters in Islam, there is no doubt that the greatest matter the Quran prioritized, and this is what we're speaking about, and this is of course the great question of tonight's lecture, the greatest matter that the Quran prioritized is at-tawheed billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is to declare the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to declare his oneness in worship, in lordship, in his names and his attributes. This is the entire message of the Quran. The entire message of the Quran, the summary of the Quran, the greatest matter that the Quran prioritized is that humanity believes in one Lord that is worthy of all our worship. The Quran began with at-tawheed, the oneness of Allah, and it ended with the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, the entire Quran is a message of tawheed, declaring Allah's oneness. Because the Quran, it's either information about Allah and his lordship and his names and attributes and actions, and all this in Islam is known as at-tawheed al-ilmi, the tawheed of knowledge and belief. Knowing who Allah Azza wa Jal is all about at-tawheed. And then the Quran, so it's part of it is information about Allah, names and attributes. The other part of the Quran is about Allah's commands to mankind that they worship Allah. And this is known as at-tawheed al-amali, the tawheed of implementation and action. And then the Quran, the third part of it is what Allah Azza wa Jal prepared for the believers in the paradise. And that is only for those who adhere to the greatest message of the Quran, at-tawheed. And then the Quran speaks about what Allah has prepared for the disbelievers and a description of the hellfire. And that is for those who did not implement at-tawheed. Rather, they turned to a shirk associating partners with Allah, and that was their eternal abode. So it's very clear, just by looking at how the Quran is divided into its subject matters, we will see that the greatest subject matter of the Quran was all the matters and the subjects in the Quran all revolve around at-tawheed and the dangers of a shirk and the warning that Allah Azza wa Jal gives humanity concerning associating partners with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in the Quran, how do we know that the Quran prioritized the subject matter of at-tawheed? Very clear, very clear. When Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about the purpose of mankind, he said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. In Surah Al-Dhariyat, at the end of that surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, I did not create al-jinn kind, wal-ins, and mankind, except for one purpose, and that is liya'budun, so that they worship me. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he said, لِيَعْبُدُون means لِيُوَحِّدُونِ, so that they can declare my oneness. Worshipping Allah in its essence means to declare Allah's oneness. If you don't declare Allah's oneness and you worship, all of that worship is waste. All of that worship is not accepted. Worship, in order for it to be accepted, it needs to have the greatest pillar, and that is at-tawheedu billah. A person needs to acknowledge and declare the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah is telling us that the purpose of the creation of mankind and jinn was so that they declare the oneness of Allah. So most definitely, the Quran prioritized the subject matter of at-tawheed. And this is exactly what the world needs today. The world today, there is a lot of confusion in the world today. There's a lot of misguidance. There is a lot of evil. There is a lot of corruption. There are terrible ideologies out there. There is absolute fitan all over the place. And the only thing that will bring sanity to mankind and will bring guidance to mankind and will settle the matters on earth and would rid us from the fitan and evil and corruption, the only thing that can do this is at-tawheed, is to embrace the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the ulama said, all good, it comes from at-tawheed, and every evil comes from ash-shirk. Every single evil and every corruption and every corrupt ideology and every corrupt belief and every sin and every evil, wicked character and attribute and quality, all of it comes from ash-shirk, associating partners with Allah or besides Allah or alongside of Allah or rejecting Allah and not believing in Allah. All of this is considered shirk. That is the root cause of every evil on earth. And the root cause of every goodness on earth is at-tawheed, is belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal only commands that which is just and good. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Allah Azza wa Jal commands justice. يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ, and excellence, perfection. Allah commands justice and excellence, and إِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, to give rights to your relatives, to give rights to humanity on earth, to respect one another, to love each other. So the one who adheres to at-tawheed will adhere to this command of Allah and begin to implement justice in his life and justice to those around him. And this is what the world needs. We need justice today. We need ihsan. We need excellence today. These meanings are almost disappearing on earth. The idea of justice is almost disappearing. You go left, you go right, you see oppression everywhere. You see oppression everywhere. And every day we wake up to oppression and we read news about oppression. All of this is coming from a shirk. All of this is coming from people that have rejected Islam and rejected Allah as their Lord. And the one who has embraced at-tawheed in his life, then such people are commanded by Allah to pursue a path of justice and excellence and goodness and looking after each other. إِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. This is why at-tawheed was the essence of all good. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we also know, in terms of answering the question of how is at-tawheed the priority of the Quran? How do we know this? Because every single prophet that Allah sent was sent to establish one thing on earth. Every single prophet, from Adam to Nuh to Musa to Isa, and Dawood, and Zakariya, and Ayyub, and Nuh, and Hud, and Salih, and Lut, and Ibrahim, and Ismail, and Ishaq, and all the prophets, with the exception of none, they were all sent by Allah to preach to the people La ilaha illallah, which is the message of Tawheed. There is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said in Surah An-Nahl, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أن يعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, we sent to each and every single nation a messenger, Rasulah. What was the purpose of sending this messenger? What did he do? أن يعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. He would say to the people, the first thing he would say to the people, عبدوا الله, enslave yourselves to Allah. Worship Allah. Embrace the oneness of Allah in your life. And in addition, اجتنبوا الطاغوت. Keep away from الطاغوت. Keep away from false idols. Keep away from false gods. This is the message of every single prophet. اجتنبوا. اجتنبوا comes from the word jump. And jump means the side of a person. Meaning you be on one side, and all the fake ideologies, and all the corrupt gods and lords, put them all on one side. And you be on one side, and embrace the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. سبحان الله. والله سبحانه وتعالى, He says, وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said in the Quran, and we did not send a single messenger before you except that we revealed to him, لا إله إلا أنا. There is no Lord worthy of worship except me, except Allah. فاعبدون. Then go ahead and worship him. والله سبحانه وتعالى would say about the prophets, each and every single prophet, he began his da'wah and his preaching to his people by saying to them, اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. Worship Allah, worship Allah. And the prophets will not only come to the people and say to them, worship Allah. No. They would logically prove to them why Allah is the only Lord worthy of worship. Islam is a religion of logic, of great logic. Each and every single ayah and command of Allah makes great sense to the heart that is open to the truth and to guidance. The Prophet would say, اعبدوا الله, worship Allah. Then he would say to them why. He would prove to them why Allah should be worshipped alone. He says to them, ما لكم من إله غيره. It's because you have no lords besides him. Show me. Show me, where's the Lord that created you? Where is the Lord that provides for you? Where's the Lord that sustains you? Where is the Lord that creates you? Where's the Lord that causes your death? Where's the Lord that decrees your matters? Where is he? Is there others besides Allah that did these matters? Is there others besides Allah that created you and provided for you and sustained you and caused your life and causes your death? Is there? Because if there is, we'll worship it. Look at the logic. He'd say to them, مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Show me. Show me a Lord that creates. And show me a Lord that causes death. Show me a Lord that provides for the people. Not for one or two people. For the entire world. For every single mankind and jinn kind. And every insect and creature. Those that we see and those that we don't see. Show me who's this Lord that is providing for this entire universe and maintaining its affairs. And then we'll worship it. See the logic? And you know, the disbelievers and every disbeliever and every rejecter of At-Tawheed, their argument concerning their shirk is pathetic, is weak. Bring us one atheist on earth or one mushrik on earth that can prove beyond doubt that what he's calling to is the truth. Look how weak a disbeliever's adherence to his shirk is. For example, in the Quran, Allah tells us, you know, the best response and the best proof and the best reasoning for a disbeliever and a mushrik for his shirk, you know what it was in the Quran? It was, وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. This is it. This was the best line to defend the shirk. To say, we found our forefathers upon a certain religion and now we're just following in their way. That's it. That's all they had. How is this proof? How is this proof that your shirk is right? How is this proof that your atheism is correct? How is this proof that whatever you're following and worshipping besides Allah is correct. To say that my forefathers were on a path and I'm following in that. And you know, the funny thing about this is that, for example, when the mushrikeen said this, the mushrikeen Quraysh of Mecca and those that parrot these words in today's world as well, defending what they believe, the funny thing is that these disbelievers, they did not believe in an afterlife. They did not believe in a resurrection. Quraysh would say, there is no hour. زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّا يُبْعَثُوا. The disbelievers certainly assumed that there will be no resurrection. طيب. If you don't believe in resurrection, so that means you will never ever be reunited with your forefathers. So why are you worshipping what your forefathers worshipped? Why are you honoring this legacy? Who are you going to make proud on the day of judgment when you don't believe in the day of judgment? You're never going to be, you believe that you will never be resurrected to meet the generation before you. So what are you upholding? Who are you going to make proud? They don't even know about what you're doing. وَإِنَّ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. And it is always known that a person honors the legacy of those before them so that they make them proud and they see them later on in the afterlife. And you know, this is all one big family and we supported each other and we carried on the legacy and so on. This is the Muslim's belief. Amma the kafir, it doesn't make sense to him that he defend his false belief. Doesn't make sense that he defends it with the line of saying, that's how my parents raised me up and that's how I shall remain living the rest of my life. Doesn't make sense, subhanAllah. Now, and the other horrible explanation that the kuffar of Quraysh would have to defend their shirk, Allah Azza wa Jal said in Surah Sad, they would say, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. You see, Quraysh, they had 360 idols around the Kaaba. This idol was for provision. This idol was for children. If you were suffering any calamity, you'd go to this idol. If you needed wealth, you'd go to this idol. If you need health, you'd go to this idol. And so on. 360 idols. When the Prophet ﷺ came with the message of a tawheed, which is a beautiful and a simple belief, believe in one Lord and observe his worship and commit to the belief of one Lord worthy of worship, they said, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. They were shocked and surprised. They said, is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this Muhammad coming? And he's saying that all 360 idols are supposed to be thrown out and replaced by one God? By one Lord? Inna hadha la shay'un ujab. No. This is something crazy. This is ujab. This is a surprising manner. This doesn't make sense at all. What's he talking about? What was the thing that Quraysh didn't understand? What was the thing that surprised Quraysh? The thing that surprised Quraysh, they said, how can one Lord fulfill all our needs? 360 idols around the Kaaba at least can attend to 360 people. How can one Lord have time for all of those that are on earth? This was their problem. This is why they found it amazing and surprising what he was saying. How can you replace 360 with one being? How? How can he attend to all our problems? Well, you see, the Quran, how did it respond to this? Very simple. You see, this was found in Greek tradition. They had many gods. They have a god for victory. They have a god for rain. They had a god for wealth. They have a god for health. This is the idea of a shirk. We have different gods that we go to so that they can fulfill our needs. Tayyib, the idea was this. Isn't it, O Quraysh, you acknowledge that it is Allah alone who created you. It is Allah alone who provides for you. This is something they acknowledged. Isn't it Allah alone who gave you life? And isn't it Allah alone who causes your death? Therefore, pray to Allah alone. Make dua to Allah alone. make sujood to Allah alone, call to Allah by himself, do tawaf for Allah alone. That's the logic. Since he's the one who created you and no one was involved in this affair at all, why can't you worship him alone? Right? Subhanallah. For we find that the Quran over and over again will bring the message of a tawheed and would always respond to the idea of shirk and disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran prioritized at-tawheed when we see the first thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called to. The very first words that came out of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tongue, the first words that were uttered on his tongue when he began to preach about Allah, was to say to the people, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا. Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ and you will earn success. Allahu Akbar. And there's something great here that we can learn, and the brothers and sisters can learn as well. And that is that when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to deliver the message to the people, he went to the mountain of As-Safa, which still is there. We do sa'i between As-Safa wal Marwa. It is closer to the Kaaba than Al-Marwa. He got on top of the mountain of As-Safa and he gathered all the tribes of Quraysh. Bit by bit, the tribes were coming out of their house and they all gathered at the bottom of As-Safa. And he said to them first thing, he said, O people, if I say to you that there is an army behind this mountain that is going to attack us this evening or next morning, would you people believe me? They said, yes. مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ كَذِبًا. We've never experienced your lie. We've never heard your lie. Of course we'll believe you. If you tell us there's an army behind this mountain, we'll believe you. Because you've never lied. So he said to them, well, I am warning you, meaning I'm going to warn you of something greater than an army behind the mountain. I am warning you of the severe punishment of Allah. Say la ilaha illallah. Declare there is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah, and you will succeed. But you see, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam do there? In order for the message of a tawheed to be effective, a person needs to be honest in his life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam established his honesty first and foremost to mankind before he told them worship Allah. And why am I sharing this? Because as students in university primarily, that's obviously, I'm assuming that's the audience that's listening to me, you interact with many non-Muslims in the grounds of the university. A Muslim needs to prioritize in his life being honest. Being honest. When you're an honest person, the message is communicated easily. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proved his honesty to people before he told them, say la ilaha illallah. When you're honest, people cannot reject you anymore. People cannot reject you and condemn you anymore. You're honest. You know, the only thing they can do now is insult you and attack you. And that's exactly what Abu Lahab, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did immediately after this event. He came up to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had called them to say la ilaha illallah, and he said to him, tabban laka ali hadha jama'tana. Tabban lak. He said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may your hands perish. Is this for why you gathered us? You gathered us to tell us worship one Lord? See, he couldn't say to him, you're a liar, because they never experienced lies from him. And then that's what you'll be faced with. Insult, abuse, mockery, defamation. This is what the preacher will be exposed to. You don't have to worry, because Allah Azza wa Jal defends those who believe, and he defends the callers to Islam. And so this is why, in response to what Abu Lahab did, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't even say a single word to him. He didn't even swear at him. He didn't even make a dua against him. He remained silent to what Abu Lahab said. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not distracted by the insult of Abu Lahab. He was not distracted by the attacks against Islam. Because this is what Abu Lahab represents. He represents the person and the media that is attacking Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond to him. He left him. He did not divert from the message that he's supposed to call the people, and he did not occupy himself with Abu Lahab. Rather, Allah defended the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the next few days when Allah revealed, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. Allah defends the believers. Allah Azza wa Jal cursed Abu Lahab. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبْ وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبْ فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ. Him and his wife were condemned to the fire. Allah defended the believers. Allah defended his messenger. And this is the sunnah of Allah. It doesn't change. So the believer, today, you my brothers and sisters in Islam, students in the university, you need to know, put in your mind first and foremost, the Quran prioritized the subject matter of a tawheed. When you have a tawheed, you have strength, you have support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be honest in your life, be honest in your dealings, work on your dealings, work on your manners, work on your character. Be the best of the best in your words, in your actions, in your dealings with people. Let it be known that you are an honest person, that you are a person of high value and good character and morals and manners. Then go out to the people and say to them, say la ilaha illallah. Focus, focus. Many times I listen to clips on YouTube or wherever it is of people debating others in the university grounds or wherever it is, in parks. Focus. The message is at tawheed. We're not interested in anything else. If some other topics come up, such as the topic of feminism, or evolution, or atheism, or whatever it is of hot topics today, as they call it, maybe address it in a few minutes, but go back. Go back to the main message. We're here to teach the people la ilaha illallah. Once you do that, there might be hurt, there might be harm, and insult, and defamation, and character assassination, and whatever it is. Don't be let down. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defend such people like he defended the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Quran. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab is Allah's response to every insulter of Islam and to every rejecter of the one who preaches to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not an ayah and a surah limited to Abu Lahab. This extends in its curse to everyone who attacks a preacher and a caller to at-tawheed. That's it. You have a complete package there. And this was the first thing in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we said, he called to. So most definitely, this is what the Quran prioritized. But even if we look at the first word that was revealed in the Quran was what? Iqra. Not only iqra. Iqra. Bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord, the one who created. And this is tawheed. This is tawheed, no doubt. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read, read in the name of your Lord. Hada tawheed. Don't read any casual reading and any type of reading. Read in the name of your Lord. How do you know he's your Lord? Alladhi khalaq. Because he created you. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. He created the human being from a alaq, from a blood clot. The very first words that were revealed from the Quran were about at-tawheed. Establishing Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator. And since Allah is the creator, then he is the only one worthy of worship. This is the greatest proof for why Allah is one and he is to be worshipped alone. The fact that he is the creator. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah is the greatest message of the Quran. And oftentimes people interpret La ilaha illallah wrong. Or they don't grasp the actual meaning of La ilaha illallah. You see, some people say La ilaha illallah is Islam. Some say La ilaha illallah means Allah is the creator. Some have all these kind of interpretations for what La ilaha illallah is. Some say La ilaha illallah means to worship Allah. And so sometimes when you say to people, worship Allah, they say, you want us to pray and to fast all day and all night. See, people like this understood from La ilaha illallah that it means to pray and fast. And La ilaha illallah is beyond this. What tawheed is beyond this. La ilaha illallah means there is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah. This is what at-tawheed and La ilaha illallah means. La ilaha illallah means that your heart is attached to one Lord. In all your dealings and all your affairs, you worship one Lord. This is what La ilaha illallah means. There is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah. So you pray the way Allah wants for you to pray. And you pray to Him alone and no one else. And you worship Allah in this manner. This is what La ilaha illallah is. And you know, subhanAllah, in addition, when speaking about what did the Qur'an prioritize, and we said the Qur'an prioritized the subject matter of at-tawheed, the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, we even find the case that 13 years of the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Mecca was all about at-tawheed. It was all about at-tawheed. It was all about the oneness of Allah. And when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrived to Al-Madinah, after 13 years of tawheed, one of the very first surah that were revealed in Al-Madinah was Surah Muhammad. And you know in Surah Muhammad what Allah says? He says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Allah revealed to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Al-Madinah, after 13 years of At-Tawheed, he says to him, you'll better learn and know لا إله إلا الله, that there is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah. SubhanAllah. Yani 13 years of learning La ilaha illallah. And this is the best of creation. And this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most connected to Allah. And when he comes to Al-Madinah, from the very first command he's given, go learn La ilaha illallah. And know La ilaha illallah. The knowledge of At-Tawheed, my brothers and sisters in Islam, doesn't finish. It is always there. The believer is always supposed to revive his iman, revive his Islam, revive his relationship with the greatest message of the Qur'an, and that is La ilaha illallah. The Qur'an, the entire message of the Qur'an is at-tawheed. And every instruction in the Qur'an is helping refresh this tawheed in your heart, renewing this tawheed in your heart, taking it to new levels and higher levels. That's all it is, right? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ لَيَخْلَقُ فِي جَوْفِ أَحَدِكُمْ كَمَا يَخْلَقُ الثَّوْبِ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, iman, faith in Allah, layakhlaq, it wears and tears away in the heart. Just like the clothing of any one of you wears and tears away. Look at this great similarity Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, iman, in the heart of a believer, it wears and tears away. Just like clothing wears and tears away. You know, I wear this today. A few months from now, there's surely going to be some rips, a cotton wool, a cotton strand coming out from here, some discoloring here. That's natural, normal for every clothing. So what happens after a few months? I get rid of this clothing. I throw it away and I buy something new. I renew my clothing. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, iman in the heart of a believer tears and wears away in the same manner. Blackness in his iman, deficiencies iman, he experiences low iman. It happens. But you know the difference between the state of iman and clothing is that clothing, we can see it. Al-iman is inside, we cannot see it. At least if I saw you as a brother and I approached you, I can say to your brother, your clothing is ripped from here. I can inform you, I can warn you. I can give you the heads up. But al-iman, because it's inside, the calamity is no one can see it. No one can see it and tell me, brother, I can see weakness in your iman, fix it up. SubhanAllah. So we need to be extra vigilant and extra careful and pay attention and be aware and cognizant of the fact that al-iman wears and tears away, no doubt. In the same manner clothing does. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave advice. He said, فَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَن يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Ask Allah that He renew the iman in your heart. What does it mean? It doesn't mean sit down and say, oh Allah, renew iman in my heart. Of course, this is a powerful dua, and it should be the dua of a believer every day. Oh Allah, renew iman in our heart. But how does a believer renew iman in his heart? How? he does the actions that the Quran, that Allah commanded us in the Quran. As-salat renews iman in the heart. As-salat renews la ilaha illallah in the heart, which is the greatest subject matter of the Quran. The greatest subject matter we're saying is la ilaha illallah. And we just established that our iman could be damaged. It's susceptible to wear and tear. How are we going to strengthen it? How are we going to reinforce it and rejuvenate it and refresh it? By reading this Quran and by implementing that which Allah told us. Every dua you do is a renewing of iman. Every salat, every sajda, every reading of the Quran, every memorization of the Quran. At-tawaf, you go to Al-Ka'bah, Al-Haram, Al-Umrah, praying in the masjid, As-Sadaqah, fasting, all of this renews the iman. And if you're renewing the iman in your heart with all these deeds, then you are adhering to the greatest subject that the Quran prioritized. Allahu Akbar. Very important that we have this in our lives, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Look, the other thing is this. If we look at the Quran from the very beginning, the very first surah in the Quran is Surah Al-Fatiha. And Surah Al-Fatiha is about At-Tawheed. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I swear by Allah, walladhi nafsi biyadih. I swear by the one in whose soul is in his hand. Nothing, he said, the likes, yani, he said, nothing of a surah has ever been revealed in At-Tawrah, wal-Injil, wal-Zabur, wal-Furqan, like Al-Fatiha. He said, the likes of Surah Al-Fatiha has never been revealed in At-Tawrah, Al-Injil, Al-Zabur, and in this Quran. Nothing has been revealed like this surah. And he said, it is As-Sab'u Al-Mathani, the seven ayat that are often repeated, because we always read it in Surah, in As-Salat, 17 times a day at least. And it is Al-Quran Al-Azim Alladhi Utitu. It is the greatest of the Quran that I have been given. Surah Al-Fatiha, right? The greatest surah in the Quran. The greatest surah in the Quran. Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed by an angel that came down from the heavens, and that door was only open that day. Never opened before, never opened after. And this angel had never ever come down to the earth. He came down with Surah Al-Fatiha and the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. He came down to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Jibreel was there. And he gave Surah Al-Fatiha to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a special event for a special surah, the greatest surah in the Quran. Come, I'm coming to the message. And then Jibreel said, أَبْشِرْ بِنُورَيْنِ أُوْتِيْتَهُمَا لَمْ يُؤْتَهُمَا نَبِيٌّ قَبْلُكَ. He said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, congratulations, you have been given two lights that have never been revealed to any prophet before you. And that is Fatihatul Kitab, Surah Al-Fatiha, and the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, لَنْ تَقْرَأَ مِنْهُمَا بِحَرْفٍ إِلَّا أُعْطِيْتَهُ. Every single ayah, every single word you read of these, Surah Al-Fatiha, and the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, except that Allah would answer you. Meaning when you say, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, Allah will give you. When you say in Surah Al-Baqarah, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا وَاخْطَأْنَا, Allah has given you. He has answered this dua. The idea is this. We've established now Surah Al-Fatiha, the greatest surah to be revealed. And what is the message of Surah Al-Fatiha? Surah Al-Fatiha, the first surah in the Quran, its message is At-Tawheed. From the very beginning, Allah introduces himself to mankind. And this is what you'd always expect. If I went and sat with someone that I didn't know, the first thing I expect is an introduction. So, you know, a person would sit with another and he say, Assalamu alaikum, let me introduce myself. I am 123. This is my business card, whatever it is. This is worldly matters in how we sit with each other and recognize each other. Allah Azza wa Jal, to him belongs the highest of example. The beginning of the Quran is Allah introducing himself to mankind. At-Tawheed. He said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah. Who's this Allah? Rabbil Alameen. The Lord of the worlds and everything he's created. Then he said, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. You see, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, it develops love for Allah Azza wa Jal. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and you better know he is the All-Merciful. When you read Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, you have hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. You have hope. you renew your tawbah. Letting you know Allah Azza wa Jalla, so long as you're alive and you're still reading Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, this opens the door of a tawbah and it opens the door of seeking Allah's forgiveness. Maliki Yawm al-Din, Allah establishes His authority in this ayah. So He gave us that He is the Lord of the worlds. He's the Lord of everything, and everything besides Allah is created. And then He told us Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He told us that He's the most merciful. This, the first ayah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, instills love in Allah, instills within us love for Allah. Alhamdulillah, thanking Allah. It reminds us of Allah's blessings upon us. And therefore, the more you remember Allah's blessings, the more you love Him. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim instills hope in Allah, that this is a Lord that you can have hope in. You can truly have hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. As a believer, adhering to the greatest message of the Qur'an at Tawheed, you can never lose hope in Allah. This is why it's important that you know the greatest message in the Qur'an is at Tawheed. And as a result, when you know Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, it instills hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. When you have adhered to At-Tawheed, it is only people of At-Tawheed that can have hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. Other than people of At-Tawheed, they don't have hope. They don't. They resort to matters of violence, or could be whatever it is of a health condition or a mental condition they go through. Yani, and that subject is a greater subject of discussion. I'm not discussing now, but we're speaking about the spiritual depression and the spiritual anxiety and the spiritual mental breakdown that the people go through is because there's no tawheed. And if there's no tawheed, how can a person have hope in life? How can a person have hope? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim instills hope. Maliki Yawm al-Din, Allah establishes His authority over mankind. And as a result, it instills fear towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the believer between hope and fear. Now, and then the greatest message of Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone we worship and You alone we seek help. After Allah Azza wa Jal told us who He is, which is the message of At-Tawheed, this is your Lord, and every information about Allah is Tawheed. After that, He gave us our job. He told us what is expected from us. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You people, go and worship Me and seek My help, because alone you cannot do so. You need My help. I need to help you. You need My help so that I give you the ability and the support that you worship Me. And then at the end of Surah Al-Fatiha, He told us, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. He told us the path. Choose the path of الصراط المستقيم. And then He told us, if you adhere to your job and you do your job and you adhere to الصراط المستقيم, then you are from أنعمت عليهم. You are those who Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed. And those who Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed enter the paradise. And if you reject the path of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ and you reject الصِّرَاطَ المستقيم, then your ending is أَبَّالِّينَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. You'll earn Allah Azza wa Jal's wrath and you become from those who are misguided. And eventually people like this end up in the hellfire. Right? So the idea is, that's the message of the Qur'an. The Qur'an prioritized at Tawheed. If you looked at the greatest ayah in the Qur'an, what is the greatest ayah in the Qur'an? Ayat al-Kursi. Ayat al-Kursi is about what? It's about al-Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. Once again, proving that the Qur'an prioritized the message of al-Tawheed. Ayat al-Kursi is the greatest ayah in the Qur'an, the greatest ayah. What does that mean? It means that the greatest thing you will ever know about Allah is found in this ayah. Every single word in Ayat al-Kursi is the greatest information you will ever hear in your life about Allah. There is no other information that is as great about Allah as the information given in Ayat al-Kursi. It's the greatest ayah. Why was it the greatest ayah? Because it discusses the subject matter of At-Tawheed. Once again, proving that the Qur'an prioritized the subject matter of At-Tawheed. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Subhanallah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we find, if we're to move forward in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-Baqarah, the first command to mankind. Did you ever wonder, what was the first command to mankind? What did Allah command mankind to do first? He said, Ya ayyuhal nas, u'budu rabbakum. O mankind, the message was not only to believers, it was to all mankind. U'budu rabbakum, worship your Lord. And u'budu rabbakum, meaning to adhere to the oneness of Allah, declare the oneness of Allah. Alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Why? What's the proof? Why should I worship one Lord? Where's the proof? Because He created you and created those before you. And then He said, Alladhi ja'ala lakum al-ardha firasha. And He made the earth a space for you. He made it spacious for you. Ja'ala lakum al-ardha firasha. Like a bed, you know, so we can easily travel on this earth from one place to another. Was-samaa bina'a. And He created the heaven as a canopy above us. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. And He's the one who sent down rain from the sky, from the clouds. And as a result, produce would come out from the earth. رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. As provision for you people. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. And then the first prohibition in the Qur'an was Allah prohibiting mankind to associate partners with Allah. Once again, you see how the Qur'an prioritized the message of a tawheed and warned against a shirk and associating partners with Allah. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Do not associate partners with Allah. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And you people deep down know that He has no partners. You people deep down know this. And so there is no one. There is not a single person who rejects at-tawheed except that he is confused and in doubt. He is in doubt. Wallah. No matter what he claims. Every atheist and every Christian and every Jew and every person of other than Islam, deep down, if he sat with himself, he is lost, he is confused, he is misguided, and he knows it. He knows it. But it's his desire that overrides his intellect, so he wants to be in a state of denial concerning his confused spiritual state. His desire, you know, do what you want as an atheist. Do what you want. No one will hold you accountable. The end of this life is the end of everything. Oh, that sounds attractive. It sounds attractive. So these people put their desire over their intellect. So they are always in a state of denial. They are always in a state of denial, right? I'm the believer. Put his intellect ahead of his desire and understood. Let's get this straight. Allah is one Lord. What's the proof? Okay, these are all the proofs. Everything around you is a proof that Allah is one Lord. All right, I have a desire as well that is strong, but I need to suppress it. I need to keep my intellect ahead of my desire so that I keep in a straight line. Maybe I will fall prey to my desire from time to time, but I get up and I make tawbah. You see, I told you the one who has tawheed in his life has hope. You come back from your desire, from your evil temptation, from your sin, and you run back to Allah Azza wa Jalla ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and you seek His forgiveness, and you repent to Him, and you move along in your life, right? So the idea is, yani, this is the idea, this is the idea. This is the greatest message in the Quran. If you looked in Surah Ali Imran, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Allah Azza wa Jal, even this is the prioritized. This is the priority in the Quran. Allah is telling us to go to the people of the book, the Christians and the Jews, and to gather them and collect them. And let's have a peaceful discussion. What are we supposed to talk about? Ta'alu, come. Ila kalimatin sawa. Let's come and agree on common terms, on a common word between us and you. What is it? Alla na'buda illallah. That we shall worship none but Allah. Wa la nushrika bihi shay'a. And do not associate partners with Allah. وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. And let's not worship each other. Let's not make lords from each other and worship each other. فَإِن تَوَلَّوا فَقُولُوا شَهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. If the people of other than Islam turn away, then say to them, please, bear witness that we are Muslims. We submitted to Allah Azza wa Jal. You see this? The biggest subject matter between us and non-Muslims is at tawheed. And that's proven in the Quran. Here Allah is telling us, call these people and make sure you're discussing one thing. And that is, let's come to common terms that we worship Allah alone. Subhanallah. And in the same surah, Surah Ali Imran, Allah Azza wa Jal would say, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin." You are the best nation that was brought to people. Why? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Because you enjoin the good, you forbid the evil. What's the greatest good? The greatest good is at-tawheed. What's the greatest evil? The greatest evil is a-shirk. Once again, we were made the best ummah because we command at-tawheed. And we forbid and warn against a-shirk. That's why we were the best of ummah. This is what تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ essentially is. There is no ma'roof better than at-tawheed. There is no goodness better than at-tawheed. And there is no munkar, evil, detested matter, greater than a shirk. Subhanallah. And this is why when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, when he sent him to Al-Yaman, he said to him, "You are going to approach the people of the book. Let the first thing you call them be, La ilaha illallah, an yuwahhidu Allah, that they worship one Lord worthy of worship, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-A'raf, you know, a very common ayah we read, He says, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Do not cause corruption in the land after its reformation. This is known in the Quran. Do not cause corruption in the earth. What does this ayah mean? How was the earth reformed and how do people corrupt it? The earth was reformed when prophets were sent and they established a tawheed on earth. The earth was reformed. It was fixed. It was put in order. Things that the earth was flourishing and it was thriving upon goodness when the prophets came and established at-tawheed and taught people La ilaha illallah. So Allah said, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do not cause corruption on earth after it has been reformed. How do you cause corruption on earth? Shirk, sins, disobedience. But then sins and disobedience and all this is a branch. It branches off a shirk. Shirk is the greatest evil. We already said this. So causing corruption on earth, the greatest of it is a shirk. When people worshipped other than Allah, when people rejected Allah and rejected Islam and worshipped gods and worshipped lords other than Allah, worshipped idols, worshipped each other. Democracy. Democracy, it's people worshipping people. That's what it is. This is fasad on earth. And this is why we see democracy not thriving on earth. Doesn't. It's always going a step backwards. Confuses the people. Right? This is because people are worshipping people. And that is the population of a country worshipping its government. Because the government is legislating, is taking the power of legislation and making man-made laws that only Allah had the right to make. Only Allah had the right to make such laws. So these people took upon themselves, you know what? We'll sit in the position of Allah and we'll tell the people what to do. And people are happy. People followed. This is a worship of people to people. This is shirk. This is great shirk. Subhanallah. So Allah says, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do not cause corruption on earth after it has been reformed. A shirk causes corruption on earth after it was reformed by at-tawheed. Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in Surah An-Nahl, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah commands justice. And the greatest of justice is at-tawheed. And there are plenty and plenty of examples in the Quran. But perhaps I want to, يعني, I know probably I've got 5 more minutes. Inshallah, I will conclude this talk in 5 minutes. I want to highlight on one very important and final matter. And of course, this is revolving around at-tawheed. And the idea is this: we already established by the permission of Allah, alhamdulillah, that we were able to do so, that the greatest message in the Quran is at-tawheed. This is what the Quran prioritized. Any page you go to in the Quran, every ayah, in fact, is an ayah about at-tawheed, about the oneness of Allah. And there are many, many warnings against a shirk. And there is a lot of response, logical response, about how a shirk is false. And worshipping others besides of Allah Azza wa Jal is false. But you see, the idea is this. What I wanted to share is that we said the Quran began with at-tawheed and it ended with at-tawheed. Of course, the very last of the surah of the Quran is Suratul Ikhlas. That's the last pretty much surah of the Quran. And then comes after that Suratul Falaq, Suratul Nas. Suratul Ikhlas, it's worth a third of the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Surah Al-Ikhlas ta'dilu thuluth al-Quran. It's equivalent to a third of the Quran. Why? Obviously, because its subject matter is a tawheed. You gotta have picked up this trend by now. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say He is Allah, the One, the Unique. Allahu samad, the self-sufficient. Everyone needs Him. He doesn't need anyone. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. The first two ayat established at tawheed. The last two ayat, which is ayah 3 and 4, rejected at tawheed. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He never gave birth to anyone. And he wasn't born to anyone. So he doesn't have parents and he doesn't have children. And because he doesn't have parents, doesn't have children, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٍ. There is no one that is similar to him. There is no one that is equal to him. You know, today, when there is a child, you'll say, oh, like father, like son. A child comes out resembling his father or his mother. SubhanAllah, it takes a lot of appearance from his father and his mother. But Allah Azza wa Jal said, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He wasn't born. He doesn't have a father and mother. He doesn't have children. As a result, there can be no one similar to him. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There is no one similar to him. Okay, so this surah is an establishment of a tawheed. An establishment of a tawheed in its two conditions. Because tawheed is of two conditions. Al-ithbat wa nafi, affirmation and negation. You must affirm that it is only Allah worthy of worship. And you must at the same time negate every false god that is claiming to be God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must negate it. If these two conditions are not found in your La ilaha illallah, then your tawheed is corrupt. Your tawheed is rejected. Okay, now, look at this. Understand this very carefully. I want to conclude with this. We know as a fact that anyone who embraces the greatest message of Al-Quran, which is At-Tawheed, anyone who embraces At-Tawheed and commits to At-Tawheed, is going to be exposed to a lot of insult and mockery and harm. No doubt. Allah Azza wa Jal said, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Did the people assume that they would be able to say آمَنَّا, we believe لا إله إلا الله, we embrace التوحيد, and we're going to leave them without being tested and put into hardship and trial and difficulty? It's not going to happen. So everyone who says La ilaha illallah will be exposed to hurt and harm. This is why the last two surah of the Quran that came after Surah Al-Ikhlas were Surah Al-Falaq wa Nas. Surah Al-Falaq speaks about the external dangers that could damage the tawheed of a person. And Surah An-Nas discussed the internal evil that could damage the believer's tawheed. Surah Al-Falaq told us about the external evils that could damage the believer's tawheed. And that is, مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. You're seeking Allah's protection from the night when it draws in. And a lot of evil happens at night. Murders, crimes, alcohol, gambling, zina, all of this, the majority of it takes place at night. Evils happen at night. You're seeking Allah to protect you from the evils of the night. You're seeking Allah's protection from an-naffathat, the magicians that blow in the knots. And you're seeking Allah's protection min hasidin idha hasad, from the envier whenever he envies. And these are all external evils. The magicians want to cast their magic on al-muwahid, on the one who says la ilaha illallah. The devils want to come upon the one who says la ilaha illallah. The disbelievers have envy towards the Muslims. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, hasadan min indi anfusihim min ba'di ma tabayyana lahum al-haq. That the people of the book, the Christians and the Jews, they envied the believers because of the truth that was revealed to them. So in Surah Al-Falaq, we know that the envy of the disbelievers could damage our tawheed. So we seek Allah's protection from the envy of the envier. And then Surah An-Nas discussed the evil the internal evil that could damage the tawheed of a believer, and that is min sharri al-waswas al-khannas, al-shaytan, that evil whispers to mankind so that he can leave his deen and leave his commitment and Islam. So as a result, you seek Allah's protection from the evil that is internal that could damage your iman by saying قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. How beautiful is this? The greatest message in the Quran is the message of a tawheed. And when you know this, you know that now there are external evils that could damage your iman, and there are internal evils that could damage your commitment upon La ilaha illallah. So you seek Allah's protection from the external evils by reading Surah Al-Falaq, and you seek Allah's protection from the internal evils that could damage your tawheed by reading Surah An-Nas. And that's the entire message of the Quran. And let me just bring something to light here as an example. You know, wallah, there are a lot of Muslims suffering around the world, right? There is a lot. Whether we're speaking about Muslims, our brothers and sisters in Syria, in Iraq, in Burma, the Uyghur brothers and sisters in East Turkestan, and so many more around the world. You always hear news of Muslims being oppressed, persecuted, punished, tortured, concentration camps. There's over 1 million Muslims in concentration camps of the Chinese Communist Party. Why? What's the answer? Why? Simply because of their tawheed. Simply because they said La ilaha illallah. Wallahi, I don't have any doubt. The moment these Muslims that are in concentration camps and in prisons and being persecuted and tortured, if they denounce their tawheed, I have no doubt in a minute or two, in an hour, in a few days, they will be released. Wallahi, they'll be released. And so long as the Muslims are still in the oppression they are facing, this gives us a good idea that bi-idhnillah, these are sincere believers. They are upholding their tawheed. It is worth dying for your tawheed. Take a lesson from this. Take a lesson. When you look around the world and you listen and you hear the news of your oppressed brothers and sisters overseas, the one biggest lesson, wallahi, it gave me is to say these are true believers. And I ask Allah to keep them firm upon their iman and Islam. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He grant us that commitment and steadfastness upon our iman and Islam. Because there is no doubt, if they denounce their deen, wallahi, they'll be released, all of them. Our Uyghur brothers and sisters in the CCP concentration camps, if they all denounce their Islam today, and they all accepted the CCP policy and belief, they'll be released. There'll be no need for a concentration camp. But they're still upholding their deen. How much inspiration does this give as you and I, Muslims, that are living where we're living and we're pretty safe and secure where we are? We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He give us an appreciation of our safety and security that we are living in and the freedom that we're living in. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make it easy upon our brothers and sisters that are oppressed. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that we are always able to reflect over this lesson. These are true believers. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep them firm. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep us steadfast and firm upon our iman, upon our Islam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us a good understanding of at-tawheed. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgive our sins and our shortcomings. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.